Welcome to worship through virtual means, coming to you from First Evangelical Lutheran Church in Poughkeepsie, New York, on this 19th of July, 2020, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. Please join me in praying. O blessed communion fellowship divine, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine, yet all are one in thee, for all are thine. Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, verse 16 from our Gospel, taken from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 15, reads like this. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. This is not an ordinary Sunday in the life of our church family at First Lutheran, and this will not be an ordinary Sunday sermon. Because under the most extraordinary circumstances of the COVID-19 pandemic, our beloved sister in Christ, Maria Knight, lost her brave fight against cancer very early this past Monday morning at Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital in Manhattan. So we as a church family must pause today and give thanks to God for Maria's life and her witness among us. Our gospel reminds us that it was God who dreamed Maria up, filled her with all the particular gifts that she so generously shared with all near and far. It was God who chose Maria and appointed her to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And it was our privilege and joy to receive her gifts, those that were concrete and practical, and those more spiritual, which she continued to give in abundant measure, even in her last hours on this earth. Maria's life bore much fruit, fruit that indeed will last. Maria was at the very heart of our church family as our church office administrator, chair of our worship and music committee, and faithful member of our choir. But far beyond these key responsibilities, Maria touched virtually every aspect of our ministry and life at First Lutheran. Her employment wasn't a job to her. It was a calling, a sacred vocation. Maria was, with every fiber of her being, a witness to what it really means to understand and own our baptismal callings as members of the priesthood of all believers. We counted on Maria to represent us at ecumenical and interfaith gatherings in our wider community. We knew that anyone who rang the doorbell at our church would receive a warm welcome and have their needs addressed compassionately, confidentially, and with the utmost professional integrity. We knew that Maria would be at the forefront of our advocacy in the name of Christ for those most vulnerable and marginalized in the world. We could count on Maria to help host wider community events in our fellowship hall and sanctuary, or when we spilled out onto Catherine Street to festively connect with our North Poughkeepsie neighborhoods. We depended on Maria to add more creative dimensions to our worship life and to show up and do those setups and those cleanups and the cooking and the pop-up fundraisers and the penny socials and many, many far less glamorous aspects of our life together. As pastor of this congregation, I could absolutely depend on her unswerving support when life circumstances converged to add heavy workloads at times way beyond the scope of her job description or compensated hours. There were weeks when she managed to juggle the drafting and production of a monthly newsletter, the weekly church bulletin, the Lunch and Listen concert program, orders of service for celebrations of life unanticipated that week, baptismal and marriage and membership certificates, while still carrying on with all the other weekly responsibilities of an active inner city church office. Eric, our director of music, and I relied on her good judgment and rich theological understandings of the Lutheran liturgy to help shape the substance and form of our worship services every week. And added to all of this was the gift of her artistic eye and her ability to design aesthetically pleasing publications and to enhance the liturgical beauty of our worship space. It was Maria who related most closely with our next door partners at Habitat for Humanity of Dutchess County on their day-to-day activities and their use of our space as we combined together in partnership and mission. It was Maria who interfaced with all the various congregational committee chairs to help support their projects on site. It was Maria who supported our church presidents and church council members and as they went about their everyday activities and responsibilities to manage the life of this congregation. It was Maria who added personal notes to those Monday morning mailings she did for all our shut-ins and homebound folks of the sermons and the bulletins and made them feel special as individuals who fielded their calls and spent time on the phone providing pastoral care, quite frankly. And so I found myself this morning focusing on Psalm 86, appointed for this Sunday, which is classified by biblical scholars as a prayer of lament. I've always been drawn to the Psalms of lament because they express the reality of our human experience of grief, of doubt, of fear, of our anger and our hurt, and our disappointments in life. We are not told the exact nature of this particular psalmist's suffering, but the psalmist's pain as expressed is excruciatingly human. We can relate. I'm drawn to the Psalms of Lament because in them, we understand that God welcomes, even expects us to come to God in the hardest of times as well as the best. We lament when the one we love, or the place where we live, or the work we do, or the financial security, or the good health we had has been taken away, and we feel empty and forsaken. Have you ever been there in your life, to that pit from which you felt you would never emerge? Maria had days like that as well. Those who were closest to her and those of us who worked alongside her daily knew the fierce side of Maria as well as the tender side. She was, like all of us, a saint and a sinner. And after receiving her devastating diagnosis almost 2 years ago, Maria would not have been human had she not had moments of deep lament, if she had not questioned why she had to suffer, why the treatment she pursued so tenaciously with John's absolute bedrock support failed to succeed in preserving her life. Because Maria loved life. She so passionately loved her family, John and Christopher and Peter and her siblings and families and church family members. Maria loved her friends, her schoolmates of 40 years, her art world colleagues, her advocacy issue collaborators, her counterparts in local and global ecumenical and interfaith ministries, and those with whom she collaborated in advocacy networks. Those networks she served with her bold, prophetic witness. She ached to claim whatever time she could gain to enjoy her beloved John and Christopher and Peter. So definitely, there were times when Maria lamented from the depths of her soul the threat to her life and well-being. I cling to the Psalms of Lament because they remind us that no matter what is happening in our lives, God is present and God does care. We can throw all our frustration and pain and anger at God, and God's covenant promises of loyalty and love and commitment to us remain unshaken. Loving us is God's covenant bedrock. Loving us even when we behave in completely unlovable ways, is God's core nature. Caring for us is so foundational to God's character and being in the world that God cannot not care. When individuals lament, Herbert Anderson has written, they keep faith with God who suffers with us. When the community laments, it demonstrates with its tears that suffering is not without meaning and that suffering is worth weeping over. In a time when violence and fear of violence are everywhere, the Psalms of Lament are a resource for healing and the restoration of hope. We are not powerless in the midst of suffering. We can lament. And so today, this first Sunday that we are gathered for virtual worship following Maria's death, we are lamenting our corporate and our personal loss. We are surrounding John and Christopher and Peter and Ted, Richard and Liz and their families with our love and holding them tightly in our hearts as they grieve. Because there is nothing about Christ's call to discipleship that is about self-reliance. We are one body, many members. We depend first and foremost upon God, and then we depend upon each other. But there are other messages in the readings for today that echo Maria for me in even more pronounced ways. I did hear her laments, but far more often I heard her bold affirmations of faith. From our first reading taken from Isaiah 44, I'm reminded again and again of Maria speaking in confidence in God's ultimate love and care for her. She spoke of her illness with me as a journey of faith that would begin and end with God. I am the first and I am the last, Isaiah reminds us. God has this. God has us, as we've so often affirmed during this pandemic. For Maria, this was very, very real. This was her daily source of strength, the affirmation that God was her Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end of her life. Our psalmist also requests of God, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. Maria knew that even the unwanted journey that she was on moved her forward. It was a walk of faith that would require her undivided attention, and she gave it her spiritual all. She knew her ultimate destination was in God's hands. In my last two conversations with Maria at the end of last week, she had accepted that the end of her life was very near. There was no bitterness in her, and there was no fear. The words from Isaiah 44 reminded me of our final conversation. Do not fear or be afraid. There is no other rock. Maria clung without fear to the rock of her salvation. She expressed thankfulness and joy in her faith. She even had glory on her mind. And that's not a term I grabbed out of the air for this homily today, but it was her term used with me that she repeated more than once to me last Thursday evening. In fact, Maria began speaking so intently that I began to take notes. And so in her words, I quote, "The joy of it, that God holds me in the palm of his hand, and that I can be confident in a joyous return to all my loved ones, the glory of it. Although I would be leaving you all in a sorrow of limitations. I will see you all again in glory. Bye for now." It is as though Maria was echoing our psalmist again, who writes, "I will thank you, O Lord my God, with all my heart and glorify your name forevermore." Or perhaps St. Paul. Maybe she was echoing St. Paul in our second reading from Romans 8. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. As Maria tired and our final conversation came to a close, I quoted Isaiah 55:12 to her from that upcoming Sunday lectionary from Isaiah 55. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. Yes, that's it exactly, Maria said. Let us pray. O Lord, support us all the day long of this troubled life, until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes and the busy world is hushed. The fever of life is over and our work is done. Then, in your mercy, grant us a safe lodging and a holy rest and peace at the last, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.